From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. This Friday, May 1st, workers in numerous sectors of American society will be protesting for their rights. Appropriately, May Day is the day workers all over the world express their labor rights, a day that has historic origins in the United States. This year, given the harrowing new chapter in U.S. and world history brought on by the COVID-19 pandemic, workers, especially those considered essential, are demanding that they be treated with dignity, even as they're required to risk their lives for low pay to serve the public. My guest is Chris Smalls. He's a former Amazon warehouse worker who was fired for speaking out. Welcome to the program, Chris.
Thank you for having me.
So I mentioned that you were a former Amazon warehouse worker who was fired for basically speaking out against the company's inadequacy in terms of keeping workers safe. And this happened fairly early on during the pandemic. Just to set the stage for our audience as we talk about what's coming up on May Day, tell me exactly why you spoke out to your superiors and why you were fired, because they have basically refused to admit that you were fired for speaking out.
Right. Absolutely. So why is because, you know, my people, my former employees, I spend 40, 50, 60 hours a week with these people over my 4.5 year career. I've been with the company since 2015. These people were my extended family. So for me to sit home and do nothing was just inhumane for me. That's pretty much insanity. So I had to take action. Beginning of March, my employees, my former employees, my colleagues around me, they began to fall ill. Some of them had dizziness, fatigue. They couldn't finish their 10-hour work shift. Some of them were even vomiting at their workstations. It was a domino effect. My colleagues were calling out. My employees were calling out. It was very scary. We had no cleaning supplies. We had no PPE provided, no facial mask, no gloves. So for me, it was a scary situation, and I wanted to be proactive instead of reactive. So I decided to raise my concerns to my local HR department and my higher up to get something done.
And so how did you know why people were falling sick? Were people getting tested? Was Amazon administering any tests? So were people having to find out on their own that they were catching coronavirus or maybe some other illness?
Well, see, that's the scary thing about it. At first, the epicenter started in Seattle, Washington. There was a lot of cases over there with the nursing home particularly.
And that's where the Amazon's headquarters is located in Seattle.
Right, as well. And we also had some managers that were actually out there for training during that time. And they returned back to JFK 8 in Staten Island. And actually, one of them left shift early because she wasn't feeling well. And I took a mental note of that. That was late February, early March. And I'm not trying to say she was patient zero, but, you know, you definitely want to be on high alert when you're dealing with something that you've never dealt with before. So from that point forward, that's when I seen a domino effect around me with all my employees and my colleagues begin to fall sick. So my suggestion was to quarantine the building at that point before we even had any confirmed cases to try to give everybody that 14-day incubation period away from each other. I figured that was the best method of practicing social distancing to keep everybody separated, to avoid anybody spreading the virus if they did have it. But my HR department, they swept it under the rug, and they pretty much was nonchalant about it.
So I imagine that your warehouse became dramatically busier once people went on lockdown, simply because more people were getting delivery. did Amazon have any protocols in place to ensure worker safety? Did they, you know, even put up hand sanitizer stations and signs for people to encourage themselves to constantly sanitize surfaces and their hands?
No, not during nothing. That time. Nothing during the month of March. It was business as usual. And the safety guidelines they implemented wasn't until later at the end of the month, sort of like the third week, maybe the third or fourth week. That's when they started to implement these safety guidelines that you're speaking about. When I was raising concerns, we were having parties. You know, we were having parties with DJs, popcorn machine. We were disregarding the virus itself. We weren't practicing social distancing. There was no 6 feet rule in place. None of this existed before my termination. They were keeping business as usual. The safety guidelines they did implement weren't working anyway. It's very hard to be 6 feet apart when you're in operations for these type of warehouses. You have to, you know, cross each other in passing. You have to go in and out of entrances, whether it's going to the restroom or going in and out the building. You have to share the same microwave. There's not enough microwaves to supply for, you know, employees at my building. We have 5,000 that come in and out that building weekly. So you can imagine how the cafeterias look at lunchtime. These are the things that they couldn't avoid. And that's the reason why I had to speak up.
So you spoke out and you were told by your superiors that there was, I mean, essentially, eventually that your speaking up led to your being told that you were fired. What was the reason they gave you for firing you?
Yeah. So on Tuesday, March 24th, when I returned back to work, my colleague was sick. Her eyes were bloodshot red. Her face was rosy. She was fatigued and sluggish. She told me she was sick. She went for testing the night before. We all know you don't receive a test unless you're showing severe symptoms. So it was very alarming at the fact that she even came to work and they allowed her to come to work days before. I told her she should go home, and she did. She's my friend. She went home. That was 9 o'clock that morning. 2 hours later, we learned that we had our first confirmed case. The associate hadn't been on the building, haven't been in the building since March 11.
This was your same friend who tested positive or someone else?
Someone else.
I see.
So that associate tested positive on March 11. And I was expecting us to do what the Queens, New York building did. A week prior, they had a case. They closed down the building. They sent everybody home with pay. They sanitized the building. Then everybody came back to work the next day. I was expecting us to do the same thing, but that didn't happen. They basically told us in our sync meeting, which is just a manager's meeting, that don't tell the employees. We don't want to cause a panic. Business as usual. We're going to the individuals that worked on that side of the building with the person who tested positive. That was my last time working for Amazon. That was Tuesday, March 24. I returned back to the building every single day that week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, to the point where they quarantined me. I sat in the cafeteria for 8 hours a day, off the clock, on my own free will, to tell the employees the truth. Management knew exactly what I was doing. They even helped me orchestrate it. They had me sit in the cafeteria with groups of people, 10, 20, 30, 40 people, every single day, off the clock. We sat there for hours. We voiced our concerns to the general manager's office. When my friend, my colleague who tested positive, results came back in, I ran to the office to let them know, because she texted me like, hey, she tested positive. Not only was I exposed, but all these employees that are in this department was exposed. And we're talking hundreds for multiple days, for 10-hour days. We all need to quarantine right now, immediately. This building needs to be shut down. That didn't work. They still swept me under the rug. They still gave me a bunch of excuses, and nothing was done. So on Saturday, March 28th, when they decided to quarantine me, that's what they did. They only quarantined me. I only been around her for 5 minutes. They didn't quarantine none of the employees that been around her for 10 hours. It didn't even quarantine the person that I ride to work with every single day. So that tells you right there what they were trying to do. They were trying to silence me. But instead, I just continued to mobilize.
So let's skip to what is expected to happen this Friday, May 1st. What did your experience that you've just explained to me at Amazon, how has that informed your motivation to organize around May Day, a day traditionally marked for worker rights?
Yeah, absolutely. So ever since my walkout, I started a revolution on March 30th. It's been a number of walkouts over the past couple of weeks. It was actually one just 2 days ago. So the fact of the matter is we're all coming together in solidarity. And a lot of people from all over the world are reaching out to me every single day, sending me emails, text, phone call about supporting me. And that motivates me because I'm speaking up for the voices that are unheard. The voices of the people that can't speak. There's a lot of employees for Amazon that have underlying health conditions. There's a lot of employees for Amazon that are 18 years old, living home with their parents, and their parents are telling them not to go to work. And there's a lot of employees that are afraid to speak up. So I'm just speaking up for them. And what I'm mobilizing on May 1st is actually just another demonstration of how much severity we're taking this situation. There's more people that's joining the fight, more buildings from all over the globe, from all over the nation that's joining this fight. And I'm just trying to bring back the tradition of May Day, which is actually what you just said, International Workers Day. And we want to protest on the behalf of our health and safety concerns.
So is it Amazon workers mostly that you're organizing? Are there other workers that are involved? I know there's a lot of things planned around May 1st as a separate rent strike. Some people are calling for a general strike. Can you give me specifics of what will happen on May 1st?
Absolutely. I actually formed an alliance with multiple companies. Yes, majority is Amazon employees, but I actually been holding conferences with Target, Walmart, FedEx, Instacart, and Whole Foods. We all joined in forces on May 1st. We all formed an alliance. We have a press release coming out tomorrow that I personally drafted up myself. And we will be forming an alliance on May 1st to show the unity, even though these are competitors. We're showing unity amongst the people, the working class people and the employees. This is about life or death. So we putting all of that aside and we're coming together to show how much that this situation really means to us and that we really need a change and take the power back from capitalism.
So are these workers that you're co-organizing with, are they planning on walking out on May 1st of their jobs or just not showing up? Or are they planning on showing up and picketing outside or wearing certain clothes? Can you explain how it will actually look and sound like on May 1st?
Yeah, absolutely. So some of these companies are not storefronts. So, for example, Instacarts. And we also have Shift, which is Uber, Lyft, grocery service. They will have to join forces with us in front of warehouses. So I actually have a number of warehouses all over the nation, and employees that don't have a location to protest will actually join forces. You'll actually see a merge of a picket line. So you'll actually see some Instacart joining up with Amazon employees, and you'll also see other entities as well, like FedEx drivers. They'll be standing there in unity as well.
Are they, I'm assuming, going to be doing it in a quarantine-safe way, six feet apart with masks, et cetera?
Absolutely. All of that. Masks, gloves, 6 feet apart, in a peaceful protest. You know, this is just a cry for help. So everything will be peacefully and orchestrated. There will be other parties involved to oversee. I've been in contact with a lot of local unions and certain cities, and I'm going to continue to communicate throughout the course of the week to make sure that everybody's safe and secure, and that our message is heard. That's all we want, is for our message to get out there and the truth to be out there.
Are you encouraging Americans who are not among these groups of workers to boycott these entities? Are you encouraging them to not shop at these stores and retail locations on that day, on Friday, May 1st?
Yeah, I'm encouraging them to stop now. These companies failed to protect us. They failed to take care of their employees. And ultimately, they put everybody at risk. We essential workers, if we come home with the virus to our families and our communities, what good are we doing? And because these companies failed to protect us, there's been hundreds of us, probably thousands of us across the nation that contracted this virus that could be asymptomatic, that could be carriers right now, putting themselves at risk. And we're bringing it back home to our families and communities. So that being said, as a society, we need to make a decision on what's right and what's wrong. And we don't put profit over people. That's just what these billionaires do. And that's why they should boycott.
Chris, do you feel that this experience that you had with Amazon in March as a warehouse worker changed you? Or had you had an earlier critique of how corporations treat their workers?
Well, me personally, I've always been a natural born leader. But yes, it has changed me, this situation. I didn't think I'd be sitting here right now having this conversation about, how companies treat employees. But me being a concerned supervisor, me being a decent human being, and relating to people that's around me and being in the trenches with these people every single day. You know, I go to work with these people every single day. How can I just ignore it? So it changed me for the better. And I embrace this role. And I'm still learning gaining knowledge every single day on how to organize and how to, just be supportive of people and unionize people in a positive way. And that's what I continue to do every day. It motivates me.
I'm glad you brought up the word union. This is something that, is a big concern during the pandemic. There was, there are more and more efforts of people to organize collectively. Is the ultimate goal unionizing? And, the companies that you are fighting against have resisted unionizing. They're very politically connected and very powerful companies. Do you hope that companies like Amazon, Whole Foods, Uber, et cetera, see their workers successfully being able to unionize eventually?
Well, yes. It may not have to be a union per se. I threw that word out there, but this company is a big company. It's a large company. It's over 600,000 people that they're hiring currently and nationwide. I don't think one union will be able to just unionize the whole workforce. But a rank and file committee or some type of organization or coalition will definitely collectively be able to help the employees out as far as a union is concerned. I think the employees should have the right to choose what type of leadership democracy that they want to have. And if it's a rank and file committee controlled by the employees, I'm all for it. Or if it's a union that is trustworthy, taking care of the employees' demands, I'm all for it. So it's still to be determined. It's still very early in this fight. But either or, as long as it's for the better good, that's what I'm aiming for.
Do you think that other workers like you are being radicalized, having their eyes opened? Obviously, people know how they're treated, but it takes a crisis, perhaps, to see in clearer terms exactly how much you are worth to the company and also to society. When society calls workers essential, but doesn't actually compensate them for that essential service they provide, compensate them, enough for risking their lives. Are workers, you think, collectively opening their eyes or seeing more clearly just how little America values them and how little their employers value them?
Yes, absolutely. This pandemic exposed a lot about these major corporations, major companies, because as I said, this revolution that started on March 30th, it's just the beginning. Over the last couple of weeks, there's been a number of strikes and walkouts and call-outs and people speaking up. And there's also been multiple people that's been fired by the company. So that tells you right there, for any company to terminate somebody during a pandemic, where there's no jobs out there, there's nowhere to turn. Your money is very limited right now. Your ability to make money right now is limited, and your livelihood is destroyed because you took away this person's career, myself included. That tells you right there that these companies don't care. Especially a company like Amazon that has a high turnover rate. They hire and fire all the time. And that's exactly what they're going to do to these people. They're only using them for a temporary fix because a lot of people are not showing up to work. But once these demands start to slow down, what are you going to do with all these people? There's no way they're going to keep all these people on. They're going to probably find ways to get rid of them. And that's a sad situation that we're in. And that's why we have to come together and find some type of organization that will be able to dispute these major corporations so that stuff like this never happens to us. It's not fair and it shouldn't happen.
Are you taking legal action against Amazon for the way in which you were fired?
Yes, absolutely. I'm taking legal actions, and the press release is out. It came out 2 days ago of who's representing me. I have a wonderful lawyer, C.K. Hoffler, appointed to me by a legendary historian, Reverend Jesse Jackson. So wow. They're working with me, and they're standing behind me 100%. And also the Attorney State General Office of New York, they're standing by me as well. They also sent out a demand letter on my behalf.
Well, Chris, I want to wish you personally the best of luck, and also to you and all your comrades for this Friday, May 1st. Thank you so much for joining us today. Good luck to you.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. And can I say one more thing?
Yes,
if you have time?
Yeah.
May 2nd, I'll be speaking with Cuba on their webinar at 4 p.m. And I would love for people to tune in on that because we have very powerful messages, very powerful speakers that I think that's going to be crucial to recovering from this pandemic. So if guys are open on May 2nd, please tune into us.
And where can people find out more information about that?
Sure. Follow me on Twitter, shut_down Amazon. I will be reposting all the information to that webinar. And I would love for people, U.S. citizens, to join forces with Cuba, because Cuba has a lot of great things going on with them. And I want to continue to get that message out there as well.
We'll post a link to your Twitter feed from our website, or people can also search for you. Chris, thank you so much again, and good luck.
Thank you for having me. Anytime. Take care.
I've been speaking with Chris Smalls, a former Amazon warehouse worker who was fired for speaking out. And we've been discussing how workers are organizing for labor actions on May Day, this Friday, May 1st. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.